whatever that is, don't let that have the loudest voice. Yeah. Let God's voice be the loudest voice and bring healing.
From Crossroads Media, this is See Hear Love with Melinda Esterbrooks,
Season 11.
Well, welcome to See Hear Love, and we are so glad you've joined us for this show. Are you ready? Because have you ever had a reaction that felt bigger than the moment? Maybe something small that set you off or shut you down, and even you thought, why did that affect me so much? Well, today on See Hear Love, we're talking about something many of us feel but don't always understand, why we get triggered and what God wants to do in those moments. Well, we live in a time where emotional awareness is high, but so are our emotional reactions. And words like triggered, boundaries, toxic, they're everywhere. But how do we discern the difference between something that needs healing and something we're simply reacting to? And how does our faith shape the way we respond? And to help us unpack and answer these questions, get ready. It's all on you guys. The amazing panel, Helen Burns, pastor, international speaker, mentor to the next generation. Get ready. I was going to say get ready to be triggered, but that's not saying.
I'm capable of that.
You'll let me know.
I will.
Okay. Different show.
Sunaita Lichtmore, registered psychotherapist, national speaker, and author. We're ready to hear your wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
I got you. Okay, you got me. And Nicole Langman, Christian therapist, international speaker, award-winning author, and you're going to tell me to calm down, right?
Just calm down now.
All right, well, let's start off. This is really important about what does it mean to be triggered? This whole definition, are we using it correctly? What does it mean? Triggered, not triggered? Let's go. I'm right here on this. I feel like we're talking to the therapist.
Yeah, I feel like I didn't have to pay for this.
Yes, but they're on the couch.
Yes.
All right, let's.
You don't have to pay yet, Helen.
All right, it's coming, my bill.
All right, let's talk about triggered.
So if you research what the term triggered actually means, you go to the Psychological Association, you would find a very wordy, lengthy definition of what triggered is. But I think what we're actually seeing a lot of right now is that the pop culture definition of triggered is new. It's almost like there's this new definition that's been devised, and it's connected to the boundaries. And I'm feeling triggered, so we're not going to talk about that anymore. But being triggered is different than being uncomfortable. Mm. It's different than being annoyed. Mm-hmm. It's different. Triggered is actually something today that activates an emotional response that is rooted in past hurts, unmet needs, wounds that have been unhealed. Mm-hmm. And it's not a regulated response. No. The emotional response typically is quite dysregulated, actually. Mm-hmm. And so what we're seeing a lot of, actually, is the pop culture definition is more like, I don't want to talk about it, I'm putting the word trigger on it so that we can just button this up and move on to something different. But that's not actually what a trigger is. A trigger is a more deep psychological response to something from the past. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and I think triggered, how it's used today, is like, you did something to me. Mm. You know, when you say you triggered me, there's like this onus that's placed on the other person, and there's almost like this lack of responsibility on the individual who experienced the trigger, and I think that's very unique to how we are using it today.
Mm. Okay, so I'm clear, being triggered in the correct way would be something where you said something or something was done to me that triggered me to react this way because of something
from the past,
a hurt in the past, or unmet need or unmet healing.
Some sort of a loss or a trauma that's come from the past. Mm-hmm. And your point is such a good one, is that when we say, you've triggered me, it's like you've done something wrong, I'm having the emotional reaction, but that emotional reaction is from somewhere in the past. So it rests in us to do some of that therapeutic work around what that trigger looks like. But we throw the word around a lot in this culture.
We do.
And so we have to figure out where it's a bit of a dance. Mm-hmm. Because people do get triggered. Mm-hmm. It is a reasonable thing and a fair thing to talk about, but what's the line there?
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think that's true, because as we were just talking, like in the green room, makeup room, it's like we've been hearing it, you know, from our kids, you know, coworkers, you know, people that we meet, and they're like, oh, you triggered me, that triggered me. Mm-hmm. You crossed a boundary, yeah. And kind of like stop. And it's mm-hmm. like, but I'm actually correcting you to help you become better. Mm-hmm. So that's where I was, you know, partly why, you know, this discussion came up, because I'm trying to understand what is the balance of mm-hmm. being, you know, kind and thoughtful if somebody was legitimately triggered, but also if somebody's using that mm-hmm. in an incorrect way, and then to say, wait a second, I'm just trying to correct you mm-hmm. to be better. Yeah. And it's not something that you should just, you know, stop me and then kind of like, you know, kind of cancel me out.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. I think what you're talking about is fragility. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of what you're naming. I think what you're noticing is that people are overestimating the harm that is being done to them, and they're overestimating or they're underestimating their ability to deal with it. Yeah. So it's they believe like, I am this fragile egg. Mm-hmm. Right? That's how people are seeing themselves. And every time you poke me, I'm going to break. When in fact, they're not an egg. You know, mm-hmm. they're a brick.
That's good.
Yeah. Right? Okay. And they can handle and they can withstand mm-hmm. this discomfort that's coming. But the individual sees themselves as fragile.
Mm-hmm. So like I'm a brick house. Sorry, yeah. I was doing this. Everything. Okay, now it's in our head.
Yeah.
But that's actually good. So fragility.
Mm-hmm. Fragility.
You're saying that a lot of us are too fragile?
A lot of people are seeing themselves as fragile.
Yes.
And so they're overestimating the harm. They're overestimating their trigger.
Okay.
When, there's some harm being done. They're being poked, but they're a brick house. Versus if you were an egg and you were poked, you might break, mm-hmm. right? So, and it's really hard to determine whether or not someone is fragile. And so when you have, you know, your teenage cousin saying that you triggered me, it's like, but wait, you're a brick house. And they're like, no, I'm an egg. And I'm like, how do you navigate that? And I think that's really the challenge.
Mm-hmm. So tonight from that, what's beneath the reaction? So if somebody is like, I'm triggered, that triggered me, you mm-hmm. triggered me. Like what is going on? Because I want to be more understanding too, if people say this, so I can discern. Is it a trigger? Is it
discomfort?
Is it discomfort, like you said, Nicole? Like, mm-hmm. But what's beneath that reaction?
Yeah, I think usually what's beneath the reaction is like a core belief is being poked at. So there might have been a core belief like, you know, I'm not good enough, for example. And let's say you felt excluded by me, and now that core belief is being brought to the surface. Mm-hmm. It could be a memory was triggered, like a painful experience was triggered from the past that you thought was healed or you thought was rectified, but it's not. So now it's showing up. You know, something you said reminded me of my mother. Something you did reminded me of the harm that I experienced growing up. And mm-hmm. so now that past harm or past pain that maybe I haven't recovered from is now being brought to the surface, and now I believe you're harming me, when in reality what you did is more like a memory or a similar to what I've experienced in the past.
Okay.
And I think also when our protective parts show up, I think sometimes when people are triggered, they might become defensive, they might become reactive, or they might like hide in their shell and avoid mm-hmm. completely, and that's kind of their way to protect themselves mm-hmm. from this perceived harm or maybe real harm.
Right.
But it's really hard for us to recognize from the outside whether or not it's valid. And so I think that's also where the struggle is, you know?
Do you struggle with that?
Oh, Helen? Yeah, I'm listening and I'm learning. Thank you. Yeah. You know, I was thinking back as I thought about this subject of years and years ago, if you had asked me if I could have such a strong reaction, I remember John and I were driving somewhere. He said something that I mean, Pastor Helen, who she and her husband did marriage conferences everywhere, had a blowout. And I'm like, pull over the car, let me out. And he did. Yeah. And I'm like, you're actually going to leave me here. And he did. And because I was so irrational. And if you had told me I could do that, I would not have imagined I could have. Anyhow, so mm-hmm. get out and I would have to call a cab to take me home. There were no Ubers in those days. It was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But I got home and I'm like, what on earth was that? Yeah. What happened?
Yes.
And I said, God, you've got to help me. I need to know what that was, because it was like you said, what was said, my response was so irrational for something, but it went back to an undealt with mm-hmm. situation. Mm-hmm. And I would say it was a root of bitterness and unforgiveness mm-hmm. that was still there. Mm-hmm. And so when I went to God, I'm like, oh, you've got to help me with this. And he did. He showed me what it was. And so it wasn't somebody else that had to fix what was going on with me. I had to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think when you take a victim stance, like you victimized me, you hurt me again, mm-hmm. we're powerless. But mm-hmm. when we take a look on the inside and say, what what was that? Mm-hmm. Now we become powerful and we can grow through exactly, it rather yeah. than stay in a victim place, even though maybe we have been victimized. Mm-hmm. But to That's stay right. there mm-hmm. is you have the power to somehow get stronger and move on. And that was such a learning curve for me. And so now when something kind of sets me off, I'm like, what is that? Right. God, show me what that is.
I think what you're saying too makes really good sense around that. Like, I've often thought of triggers as a wound with a voice. And
that's good.
What
that's
shows
good.
Yeah. up now, what's interesting about today's culture is to say, I'm triggered. What we know is that often the trigger is actually bigger than logic, and it's faster than logic, and it's bigger than the moment. You actually don't even feel like you can say, I've been triggered. You're just having an emotional reaction that doesn't match what's actually happened because it's a response to what's happened in the past.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so that wound with a voice, that's a message for you to like, there's unresolved something there. Yeah. And your insight and your emotional intelligence, you're able to recognize that. So I would say in so many ways, the current definition of trigger often doesn't, it bypasses that whole, actually, these are big, deep emotional responses.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of people that are triggered, they don't actually get to say I'm triggered because they've had such an emotional reaction.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Exactly.
You know, John was a dentist for years, and he used to say, pain is not your enemy. Mm-hmm. Pain actually is a messenger.
A messenger, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so when you have pain in your tooth, it's telling you something's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So pay attention to it so you can rectify it. But so often we're trying to shoot the messenger. And rather than deal with the pain, we're avoiding it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good. So then the question is, are we healing or avoiding? So I think that's really key in this trigger. For the person who's saying it, mm-hmm. for the person who's receiving it, going, what's happening? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So healing, avoiding. Mm. What's happening amidst this, or what should we be doing when a response creates that kind of emotion, mm-hmm. and you say you're being triggered, then there needs to be some kind of internal examination of something. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know, healing or avoiding, Nicole?
I think we're both.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we're both. I think we are in some ways healing. I think we have way better language now than we've ever had before. Mm-hmm. People can identify anxiety. They can identify what's hurt them. They can't. Doesn't mean that they are. And then the other piece of that, though, is we're also avoiding. We're using that language to keep us from actually doing the healing work sometimes. Yeah. And I think that we're both. I think healing and... Mm-hmm. Avoiding.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of what I've said in past episodes, where it's like the overprotection. I think sometimes we believe we're broken, so we create a fortress to protect ourselves when we're not broken. Mm-hmm. And so there's this overhealing, this overfocused on healing when there's so many other things that we could be doing as believers to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to live out the Great Commission that's set before us. But we're just like, oh, but I think I'm broken, so I'm just going to overanalyze and overfocus and protect myself with all the things when we're not broken.
So tell me this is a learning. So when somebody, if I'm saying something to somebody, I'm really out of a heart place trying to correct and help someone become better, and they say, oh, Mel, you're triggering me. Mm. You've crossed a boundary. How should I respond? What should I do in that situation?
Hmm, good question. What do you think, Sinead?
Yeah, I think it depends on who the person is and that relationship, because I think with proximity comes a certain level of honesty, you know, like the relationship's able to withstand a certain level of honesty. And I think you'd always begin with curiosity, you know, help me understand.
Like, so help me understand why
I
triggered you?
Yeah, help me understand what I said. What did you hear? When I said A, what did you hear? Because oftentimes there's a disconnect with what we said and what was heard. And I think that just kind of investigative kind of journey with that person. But it's hard, because I think we want to respect people. We don't want to, you know, we don't want to trigger people and all the things, but inevitably we will. And the closer proximity you are, especially when you're married or your children, like, that is inevitable. Triggers are going to happen, but that's also where the healing work happens in those same intimate relationships.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. And I love this idea of not being able to wave the victim flag and the victor flag at the same time. And so as Christians, we stand in victory, right? We stand in victory with Jesus, right? He wins. And so when we're waving the victim flag, we have to be so careful about the victim language, because we are victimized, and for sure, but where we put our focus. And so when you're talking this out with the people who have been triggered, I think curiosity is a starting place, but really also just looking at any conflict can bring people closer together.
Yeah.
And so these opportunities are wonderful opportunities around, like, We want to be closer. The goal is to be closer. We want victory in this relationship. Mm-hmm. And so let me be curious with an authentic, genuine spirit of curiosity and connection.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for the person that is feeling triggered, what is that process? Because I think I've been on the both ends.
Yes,
I have been triggered and I've also been, received the you're triggering me.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The person who feels triggered, what should be the first thing? Like if something comes up, how should I respond? Because I don't want to be saying you triggered me like all my life when something comes up and I'm feeling this way.
Yeah, I think that same curiosity you'd give others, you'd give yourself.
That's okay.
You know, like especially tuning into your body, like what's going on, you know? What story is this trigger sending me? Like every trigger tells a story, you know? And I think being able to get to that place where you can actually understand that trigger story, I think that's huge because you're also like separating it from yourself. You're not owning it versus that's who I am and everyone has to treat me this way. Your trigger is not your identity.
Right.
And I think creating that separation, it can kind of begin that journey of like healing and understanding.
That's good. Mm-hmm. So Helen, what is faith, our faith, Jesus say about our emotions? Like we're talking about emotions or all these, the victim, the victor, all of these things, but you know, our emotions are valid, but what are they meant to do? What, how does that kind of connect with our faith?
I agree. Like, I think it's so important to take a look. I loved how you said have curiosity about yourself. And I shared that very embarrassing incident that I did back years ago. But I did have a curiosity because I was like so shocked at my response. I knew it was not okay. And so I remember going to God in that, in the scripture and in, you know, Psalms 51 verse 6, it talks about creating me a clean heart. Mm-hmm. It talks about not letting my emotions have the rule, let God into that space. One of my, I feel like Psalm 51 was a gift that God gave me. And also Psalm 19 verse 12, one of my favorite, it says, cleanse me from hidden and unconscious faults. Don't let them rule over me. Yeah. We're not even aware of them sometimes, but the Holy Spirit does know what's going on. And I think that curiosity and that welcoming, God, I'm asking you into these spaces. Mm-hmm. If there's anything in my life that is creating a separation with me and with you or with me and with others, God, I want to take ownership over that and invite you into these spaces in my heart to not just put a wall up, but to actually invite him to come heal these. It talks about in Hebrews chapter 12 about the root of bitterness, you know, take heed to that, uproot it. Otherwise it's going to defile you. And if you're defiled, we defile others. Hurt people do hurt people. And so I think that we invite God into those spaces and he's so kind and gentle with us. But I think one of the kindest things he can show us is what it is. And if there's unforgiveness, if there's bitterness, if there's anger, whatever that is, don't let that have the loudest voice. Yeah. Let God's voice be the loudest voice and bring healing. And, you know, I when I did that reaction, it was embarrassing. And I went to John after and I said, I need help with this. I don't want to do this again. And I think having accountability to God and to others is important too. It's not his job to heal me. I have to do the work. Yeah. But when we invite other people into that space with us, then we can walk it out together. And I think in marriage and in close friendships and community, that's really important. Mm-hmm. Rather than being embarrassed and hiding it, invite other people, starting with Holy Spirit, to come and help us.
Good. Yeah, and I love your example because it's also an indication that the emotions are not always valid. Sometimes our emotional response does not match the situation. And that is a number one indicator that there is a historical wound that hasn't been, rectified. There's a false belief that's there, but there's something off. It just doesn't make sense. And so recognizing emotions are signals. Emotions are indicators. Yeah. They're communicating to us, but they're not always valid. They don't always make sense. Maybe it may make sense to your therapist, but it might not make sense to yourself or anyone around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, emotions don't make a great compass.
No.
And we're following our emotions around, and we're going to find ourselves wounded all the time. Yeah.
I love those verses because I know we have the verse from James 1:19 that says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry.
Mm. Yeah. So anger is actually a good emotion if it's used in the right way. There is a things that we should be. It talks about do all the other things first and slow to anger. It doesn't say don't ever be angry. It says be angry, but do not sin.
Right.
So how do I do that and deal with what's going on the inside of us? And with other people too, like other people, they might we might feel like annoyed, or it may be a trigger. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what is that actually? And if we employ James 1:19, yeah. I think in relationship, it's going to get us where we want to go rather than stuck.
Because it's quick to listen, like what both of you said, quick to listen. So I'm listening in to say, is this a real trigger, or is this just, you know, what this is, that you don't want to be corrected. You don't want to be told what you did wrong. You don't, you know, and then slow to speak. I think it's the listening and then saying, help me understand why, or what's going on. What I said, why, you know, and that, and then slow to become angry. Because I know that there are parents out there, when their kids say that, you just blow up. Say, what do you mean I triggered you?
Yeah.
I'm your parent. I'm trying to support you. You're trying to control me. You crossed a boundary. No, I'm just trying to tell you to clean your room.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's important that you do. I'm just, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good baseline. That's good for us to kind of walk that through. Mm-hmm. But it does take all of us to listen, lean in, take the time to really find out what's going on.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's part of the challenge is some of us don't want to do the hard work of like really finding out what's really the issue behind, the reaction behind to the issue. Or the issue, the reaction.
Yeah, people don't have the skills or like just the ability to do that, right? But even for parents in particular, I think modeling that, you know, modeling that curiosity, even modeling when you are having an emotional response and how you would deal with it. Like, you know, I'm feeling really overwhelmed right now. I'm just going to go to my room for a little bit. But just modeling that for the kids, for adult kids, is so important because it also shows like you're a human as well and you have emotional responses, but it doesn't mean that you have to allow your emotions to lead you.
Right.
And I, just in adding to that, Sonia, it's such a good point. I think conversations with our kids outside of the moment are so important, right? When things aren't heated, when people aren't upset, where we can just sit down and say, okay, how do we navigate these situations?
Yeah.
We're all, I haven't done this before. You haven't done this before. Yes. We don't know what this looks like. What do we want it to look like? Because ultimately our goal is emotional connection and intimacy with our children. And so in, we want this. We're in a season right now that might be a little bit challenging. But outside of the moment, how do we talk about this so that we can get what we want?
Yeah, and that's a good one. When, because when we're triggered, right, we cannot access our prefrontal cortex. That's the intellectual part of our brain. Like the emotional center is so like heated and active. It's like we are expecting each other or the other person to think clearly and to articulate themselves well, and they are stuck in this emotional state. So when we wait until to have this conversation after, we can both be level-headed and have a fair conversation.
That's really good.
Such a good lesson,
really
I think, in marriage and all of it.
Yeah.
Just having the courage to just say, we need to talk about this, but now's not a good time. And it doesn't, you put it on the shelf, not for forever, but to a place where you actually come back to a reasonable mind and have done a little bit of self-inventory, like what's going on, and then bring suggestions or solutions. It's as quick to hear, slow to speak. It doesn't say don't speak. And that's what often happens after we're upset about something. We don't talk. It says slow, quick to hear, and listen, slow to speak, and do speak, and then slow to wrath. And I think with that, actually, it is the way to have longevity in relationships, in our marriage, with our children, with our coworkers. If we employed James 1:19 in our communication and relationships, we'd be winning all the time, I think.
So good. And I think, too, that the triggered, and you can, you know, help me in understanding this, when they say it, they're saying it because there's something going on. Like, you're triggering me, it means something's happening. I'm feeling something either hurtful or shameful, or I'm afraid. And what you're saying, you're poking at something, or either, or maybe I feel that you're unfair, or I feel, but it's something more. And so I think that it was good to kind of differentiate. Trigger is, there's real triggers, and we need to address those and honor that and the feeling. And then also, I believe when people use the word triggered, also to call out, maybe it's not that. Maybe we're dealing with something here where you don't want to do something, where that's gonna make you uncomfortable, where I'm pushing a little too hard on something that is needed, but it's gonna be hard and you're scared.
You're scared.
What are the emotions that are happening when you go, when you blurt out, you triggered me and now I'm done, you know? And so I think that's really important. I think the scriptures are really key to help us with that too.
And it's worth it. The conversations are worth it. Leaning into the discomfort is worth it. Navigating these difficult waters, realizing we're not fragile, is worth it. And so if we could just get comfortable in discomfort, I think we'd get a lot further in these types of situations.
And all I can think about is singing Brick House. So maybe when somebody says trigger, I'm like, you're a brick house. maybe, and maybe I do a little like dance around, yeah. and then we kind of work it that way.
I think in the heat that of the moment, the you should yeah. try that
yeah,
next
do that.
Time and see how that goes.
Change the whole energy in the space. Yeah.
And then
yeah.
that all changes, and that's not we're triggered. They're like, oh, okay, Mel, yeah. okay, what's yeah. going on? Yeah. Such great, great conversation. I love this. But when we come back, our final takeaways on why we are so triggered. Stay with us. See Here Love is more than just a show.
This is the most diverse and inclusive women's show in Canada. You sought to make this space reflective of the kingdom of God.
Donate so we can keep creating inspiring content, host meaningful events, and expand our reach.
If you look around this table, you see so many skin colors, you see so many different age groups, and I think that's so beautiful.
Your support is vital to the continued growth and impact of See Here Love. Visit seeherelove.com/donate.
Are you ready to see God's faithfulness, hear His truth, and love like Jesus? Download your free See Here Love Bible study guides, created for women who long to grow deeper in faith, identity, and purpose. With a variety of inspiring guides to choose from, you'll find real stories, honest conversations, and biblical truth that speaks to your heart. Perfect for personal study or gathering with your small group. Visit seeherelove.com/Bible studies to download today.
Join the host of See Here Love, Melinda Estabrooks, as she invites women from across Canada to share their stories and lived experiences, their journeys of faith, their challenges, and wisdom, and to create a place of belonging, community, and where women come together to know they are seen, heard, and deeply loved by God.
Every one of you here is just like a miracle.
It's so important to be with people that encourage you.
Visit our website at seeherelove.com. Don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter for even more content.
This is such a great conversation. Okay, final takeaways. Any encouragement to somebody who's on either side of being triggered or triggering, what would you say?
So I would say that accessing therapy, a Christian therapist, yeah. is essential yeah. for getting to the root of some of these mm-hmm. conversations and these triggers, right? You were saying that, Helen. I think that sitting down with a professional who's not in your life, yes, you have friends, yes, you have pastors, yes, you have, but go and sit with someone who's not in your life, who's a Christian, who you can sort through some of this stuff with. Mm-hmm. And that will help you get to the bottom of things so that those emotional responses won't be as dramatic or emotional or dysregulated as they've been in the past. I wrote something down. A trigger is when your past shows up in your present without your permission.
Ooh. Oh.
It just
Ooh.
Burges out.
Sorry, like say that again. One more time.
A trigger is when your past shows up in your present without your permission.
Oh, okay.
That's gold.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Christian therapist.
Yeah, I think with the therapy language, it could be easy to think that we are all therapists, you know, and that we are trying to fix the people in our lives. It's important that you are not trying to fix the people in your life, but love the people in your life.
Oh, yeah.
And we love others by showing compassion, by curiosity, by being patient versus kind of pointing out the areas that they need to fix, because we all have things that need to be fixed. We all get triggered. And when we look at it from that perspective, we're not focusing on the plank in everyone else's eye except our own.
Good work.
Oh, wow.
Well,
yeah. Just that one thought. You know, just take the plank out of your own eye before you try to take the speck out of somebody else. That's an important. I think for me, this is just the emotions are real. Our emotions, we don't ignore them, pretend they don't exist. If they show up, pay attention to them, but they're not emotions aren't dictators, they're indicators. So there's a difference. And so rather than letting, like you said, they're not a good, you're like, if you let your emotions lead you, it's going to take you where you don't want to go, but don't ignore them. What are they? Let them indicate. It's like in my car, if the indicator light comes on and I keep ignoring it, something's going to break down. Mm-hmm. So to take time to look at it, what is that? And why is that causing it in me? And invite the Holy Spirit to come and help.
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you so much, Helen, Sunait, Nicole, for your thoughts and presence. SeeHereLove.com for all the information about us, all our events and Bible studies and ways to join our community and to download our free Bible studies. Go to SeeHereLove.com/Bible study. Follow us on Instagram for behind the scenes clips and daily inspiration. And if you need prayer because you feel like you need a reminder that you can make it through, you have felt triggered, there's still healing in your life that needs to be done, please call our 24/7 prayer line at 1-866-273-4444. And someone will be there to listen and pray with you. And after listening to our conversation, we hope that you will give yourself kindness and grace. Remember that you're not alone. Healing takes time. You've got this. And always know you are seen, heard, and deeply loved by God. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for joining See Here Love with Melinda Esterbrooks. This podcast is a Crossroads Media production. Until next time, always remember, you are seen, you are heard, and you are loved by God.